so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
The book of Micah, that's in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. It's past, where is it past? It's past Ezekiel. It's past, where's some other ones at? Amos. It's past Hosea, Daniel, there's some big ones. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, amen. So I've got about 30 minutes to give you an hour message. Micah chapter 7. I'm one verse of scripture that we're going to jump in on. And then we will elude and even read some other scriptures that you can write down and go back for your further development of that thought. I want to talk to you today, and the message this morning is entitled, Between the Porch and the Altar. Between the Porch and the Altar. Now, let me just go ahead and preface this. If you have never failed, then you can be dismissed. Because you don't need this sermon. If you are all that, a bag of chips, some government cheese, and failure has never been a part of your vocabulary or your experience, you can leave. However, before you leave, let me talk to your children and your spouse and your friends. Amen. But the book of Micah chapter 7 says this, "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy." Oh, man. I like Micah. He's already talking some smack. "Don't rejoice over my fall, for when I fall, I will arise." Now, I want you to notice something. He didn't say, "if I fall." He said, "when I fall." He said, "when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." Don't rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. I want you to just look at somebody and declare that. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Look at them. They might not be your enemy, but in case somebody that they know is your enemy. Tell them, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. Hallelujah. Look back at them and tell them, I feel a comeback coming on. I feel a comeback coming on. Glory to God. Now, we should have the mindset, I want you to hear me, I want you to have the mindset that the thing that I didn't overcome last year, I'm going to overcome this year. The thing that I struggled with last month, I'm going to overcome this month. The areas which I failed last time, I'm not going to fail this time around because I've been going through this valley for too long. But what I want to tell you is don't be surprised when you fall. Now, Pastor, are you preaching that we just should be ready to fall? No. But the problem is you've got folks who are looking for perfection and the only perfect one was crucified. So we're not perfect. Are we to walk perfect? No, but we're to strive. God is more interested, listen to me closely, in progression than he is perfection. Why? Because he made you. Did your children ever surprise you? You know, sometimes we'll say, oh, I did not raise you that way. Or sometimes they'll surprise you and go, whose child are you? Whose child are you? Because I know you didn't get them brains from your mama. And you know you didn't get them from me either. Come on, somebody. They'll just surprise you. But I want to say, stop hiding when you fall. Because what the devil wants to do is when you fall, is to keep you isolated somewhere. There is a power in being open unto God with your struggle. Now let me hear you. Let me talk to some of you. When I talk about not hiding your fall, doesn't mean that you go on Facebook and let everybody know. All right? It doesn't mean that you tell everybody who will listen about your fall. But I am saying you need to be open to God and a couple of your closest friends and confidants and let them realize that I'm struggling, so pray for me. Because everybody needs three or four crazy friends. One out of every four people are crazy. And if you don't know which one it is out of your group, it's probably you. And I'm trying not to be negative or give an excuse for walking in our failure, but I think that we've been called and taught that we must be perfect, and that's what the devil uses to isolate us because we're so ashamed of our failure. And I'm not telling you to taunt it from the rooftops that, yes, I'm a failure. Listen, I fall, but I don't get on Facebook and tell y'all I fall. Well, I wonder what pastor's fault. It's none of your business. I'll tell you right now, none of your beeswax. Amen. Now, I'm not out, you know, so I know, see, I know some of y'all are like, I wonder what his fault. Get your mind back with me. I wonder what he fell on. Lord Jesus, I had one family tell me this. Well, we want a pastor who never falls. I said, then you, I don't know what to tell you, said brother. Another pastor can lie to you, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be real because I think it's a time that we understand that God is looking for progression, not just perfection. Are you better off today? Are you a better Christian today than you was last month, last year? Are you progressing in your walk with God? I'm not trying to be negative. I'm telling you, you should do your best. However, but we have given off the image that we act as though we as Christians never make mistakes. And I think it's time to be honest and say, should you do your very best to not make mistakes? Absolutely. But when you fall, declare, I will arise. When you fall, enemy, don't get too excited. Don't get too excited because I'm down, because I feel a comeback anointing. Don't feel too excited that I'm down and out because I ain't gonna stay down and out. Because the psalmist David said, though a man falleth seven times, a righteous man gets back up. Glory to God. And my God, I feel something coming on me this morning. I've just come by to tell some folks this morning that no matter where you're at today, there is an anointing and there is power to come back. The thing that we've got to decide. Even Paul said this. Paul said, the thing that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Who shall save me from the wretched man that I am? Nevertheless, there is no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm just trying to tell you that you're going to have some issues. But the problem or the question is not where you are, when you fall. The question is where you fall. This is probably one of the most real moments when the prophet said, when I fall. I mean, come on. This is the prophet talking. Prophet of God. If it would be in this day and time, no, everybody would be. Now, you don't get that way when I say I fall anymore because I've said it so often. I'm telling you, listen, I remember at one time we lost six families because I said that statement. Well, Pastor, what'd you do? I didn't retract it because it's the truth. I do my best. Now, you know, what sin are you talking about? I'm not going out committing adultery and all these crazy things, but sometimes I get angry. The Bible says be angry and sin not. Sometimes I blow that scripture out of the water. Because I be plotting how to kill folk. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You know, I know somebody, I can hear you right now. I can hear your religious spirit. I'm just practicing for the 11 o'clock service. But I can hear your religious spirit right now. You know, I want y'all to know something. I speed. Often. Where are the police officers? They in here this morning? Oh, Jesus. All right. Shout grace to me. I speed. Well, Pastor, that's not a sin. The Bible says obey the laws of your land. Oh, now you're splitting hairs. No, you're splitting hairs.
Because we don't have different degrees of sin. Sin is sin. Let me go one step further. The Bible says anything that is not of faith is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is his sin. Are we going to talk about it? See, I'm telling you that all of us fall, and the grace of God covers us some things, but we cannot continue on living in a perpetual knowing sin and still call ourselves a Christian. That's why the power of the Holy Spirit is so awesome and it is so needed in your life, because the Holy Spirit don't let me get away with nothing. Every time I think I got away with something, the Holy Spirit all up in my ear. You know you did wrong. You gotta forgive that person. You know you ought not say what you said. You got to get it right. Yeah. I know y'all don't like me talking about the Holy Spirit like that, but sometimes that's the way I feel about him. I tell him, why don't you go mess with Steve and leave me alone a little bit? Rejoice not against me when I fall, for when I fall, I will arise. That's a powerful statement. What does it say to your adversary? Here's what it says. I realize I'm not perfect and I will fall, but I will not stay there. I will arise. Some of us need to take off the facade and declare, I'm not perfect. You know, and the problem is, sometimes we've been saved long enough that we forgot some of the things that we used to struggle with. We forgot, and now we look down at our nose at folks who are still struggling. Ooh. Hi, my name is Ronnie. I'm a pastor, and I fall. I make mistakes. See, that's the problem with some of us. We won't even admit that we do. Like, not me. Well, you know, I made a mistake one time, but I was mistaken. It wasn't a mistake. I understand talking smack, because I like talking a little smack myself. But how could Micah be so boldly in his statement? And against a force that is greater than he, that for him to say to the enemy, when I fall, I shall arise. See, man, he already had a made up mind that I might fall, but I'm not staying where I fell. I'm not going to stay down just because I am down. Are you listening to me? See, how can we say with confidence to rejoice not against me, or don't laugh too loud, Satan? Don't laugh too loud, because I'm about to come back. You ever surprise people when you came back? I like to call it a booyah moment. You know, people thought you was down and out, and then you walk back up and go, booyah, I'm back. Amen. I had somebody in our first church that they left our church, and they were our biggest tithers, and they were just mean, and they said when they left, you'll never survive without our tithe. We bought a parsonage. We bought a bus. We bought a tractor. And they'd come up and said, who's that? I said, that's the church's. Booyah! Well, how'd y'all afford that? I said, well, sometimes when you get the devil out of the camp, you can do something. But anyway, that's a whole nother message. Let me move on. Let me move on before I start talking about somebody. See? I kind of enjoy that a little too much, going, booyah! I wish I could call your name, but I won't. At first glance, it may seem that it was made up. Was it? Maybe it was his made up mind or his personal walk by faith. You know, maybe like a boxer says to his opponent, you may knock me down 3 times, but I'm going to get back up. But at a closer look, you find out that there is a reason he could declare that I will arise. And the reason Micah could say this, because he was more implying or giving the implication where he would fall when he fell. Where will you be when you fall? That's the question. You know, some of us are spiritually like that commercial. When the older woman falls, I've fallen and I can't get up. Why? Because she's all alone. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. Because she's all alone. She ain't got nobody to help her up. So she got to call somebody. Listen to me. You don't need to be alone in this thing. There's a book written a number of years ago entitled Future Shock. And future shock is defined by the author as the physical and psychological distress suffered by one who is unable to cope with the rapidity of social or technological change. Yeah, they just can't deal with all the changes. That's what basically he's saying. Too much change at one time causes one to be overwhelmed to the point that they can no longer cope. Don't point at nobody. Just too many changes. You can't change too much. You know, you just change it a little bit at a time. There was a pastor one time who wanted to move the piano. And nobody wanted the piano moved, so he'd move it an inch every week. And after about 6 months, he had the piano on the other side and nobody even knew it. Because they couldn't handle it too much all at one time. Amen? And that is the world that we live in today, though. Too much change at one time is causing people to be overwhelmed. Let me give you some statistics. A total, there are 31 million people in the U.S. on prescription antidepressants. A total of 100 million people are struggling with depression or severe anxiety, and our medication, our own medication, by prescription or homeopathic medication, or both, and that basically is to keep them from getting overwhelmed. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Each year, 44,193 Americans die by suicide. For every suicide, there are 25 attempts. So 25 times 44,000, do the math. In the last days, people's heart will fail them for fear because they cannot cope. God did not call you to cope. He called you to have hope. And the only hope, His name, is Jesus Christ. And as long as you've got Jesus, you can overcome. He declared it into your life. These people are overwhelmed and they think that there is no way out. But I'm telling you that there is a spirit that comes along with suicide. I'm telling you that more than 500 people are homeless in the United States of America. 125,000 of those are children under the age of 15. 50,000 are veterans of the United States military. Most homeless will tell you it's not because of the lack of ability to get money, but it's because of normal daily life they cannot handle. They can't handle mortgages. They can't handle the stress of bills. I have family members that they just can't handle any stress. They get all discombobulated when something comes by in stress. That is not God's, that is not God. That is the power of hell trying to cause you to be overwhelmed. But I've come by to let you know that in overwhelming times, we serve an overruling God, and He is able and more than able to accomplish everything that He said He would accomplish in your life. However, you've got to stay plugged into Him and you've got to stay in the place. Where will you fall? Where will you fall? See, the Bible said in the last days that this would take place, and undoubtedly we are certainly living in the last days. Point number two is this. Sometimes we fall because we are hit with a force that is certainly stronger than we are. But you fail to remember sometimes that greater is He that's in you than he that comes against you. What I mean is that by that force is that supernatural in origin. The attack of Ephesians 6:12 says that principalities and powers of the air, right? We are attacked, but you got to realize you're bigger than that. You're greater than that. Don't ever think that when you begin serving the Lord, that the enemy, that your adversary, the devil, is just going to say, man, I'm so proud of you. I'm so glad you got off drugs. Man, I'm so glad you got off alcohol. The devil's not going to say that. The devil's never going to tell you, I'm so glad you quit beating your wife. Because your wife was about to have a comeback. She bought a gun last week. Come on, somebody. The devil's not excited. Well, you know, I decided to go back to church. Well, the devil's not excited about that. The devil's not going to applaud what you're doing. But even if you fail, listen to me, you will walk again. The devil's never going to say, I'm glad they got their life together. I got tired of watching that Jerry Springer episode every week. No, 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 he loves it. But let's take Job into consideration. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. I won't read it because of time's sake. But most of us know the story. Those of you who don't, Job was a man that loved God. And the devil said, the only reason Job serves you is because you have a hedge around him. And the only reason you serve him is because of everything that he has. If you were to let me vex him, if you were to let me attack him, then he would curse you to his face. And God said, you think so? It's on, dog. He said, it's on. I tell you what, you can take everything Job has, but don't touch his body. And we know that he lost his children. He lost his finances. One writer said he was probably one of the richest men in the world. He lost everything in one day. He lost all of his finances, all of his reputation, lost most of his friends, lost all of his children. How can you walk by faith when you fall? Because here's the deal. To be honest with you, at times the only way to walk by faith is to fall on your face. The only way to walk by faith is to fall on your face. You may be overwhelmed, but I pray that you're overwhelmed by the presence of God. Because here's what happened. In verses 20, Job fell. The Bible said, Job fell, but he fell and worshiped God. Whew. Listen to this. Alan Gardner, most of you won't know him. I didn't either until I found this story on him. Alan Gardner was a missionary to the island chain of Tierra del Fuego. Fuego. I knew that. Cállate la boca. Gracias, señora. To Tierra del Fuego. Fuego. He died on Picton Island under hostile circumstances, immense physical difficulties, met the missionary years later. His dead body was found, and with it, his diary. When they found his body, his diary was just at arm's reach. And the diary told his story of thirst, told his story of wounds, of his loneliness, of his hunger, and the hostility. But the last entry, my God, the last entry on his diary, you could tell was written by a shaky hand. But here's what it reads. It read, I am overwhelmed by the goodness of the Almighty. My God, somebody hear me. You've got to recognize that the goodness of the Almighty is not just the things that you have or the things on this life, but the goodness of the Almighty made a way. Even if you may suffer down here on this earth, there is coming a day where there will be no tear. There will be, Jesus is going to come back and take his church away, and we will forever be with the Lord, where there will be no sorrow, where there will be no more tear, where there will be no divorce, where there will be no more addiction, only the presence of the Most High God. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited for that time, and I recognize that I am overwhelmed by the goodness of the Almighty. He didn't have to die for me, but he did. Well, glory. So I pray that if you are overwhelmed, that you will become overwhelmed by the goodness of God. But the truth is, sometimes we fail or fall because of the wounds of others. Oh, blessed church folk. I won't read it for time's sake, but 1 Samuel chapter 1. Read it for your own self later on. 1 Samuel records the message of Hannah. Hannah who wanted a son. Hannah who wanted a child. But the Bible said that Hannah's womb was closed. And her husband had a couple of wives. Now somebody asked me one time, his name was Elpna. Somebody asked me, Pastor, Why can't we have double wives now? I refer everybody to my wife on that. And I don't know about any man who can afford two wives. Not if you're really taking care of the one you got. Come on, somebody. Oh, come on. That's what I'm talking about. I see my man over there just reached over there and grabbed his wife. Come on over here a little bit, baby. That's right. I'm going to take care of you. But Hannah was in the house of God. If you read it, Hannah's in the house of God. They're having the Lord's supper, or they're having supper. They're having some time together. And every year the man went from his hometown to the Shiloh to worship and offer a sacrifice unto God. And as they offered a sacrifice, she offered it and then she just left. Why? Because there was a woman there who was his other wife. Her rival, here's what the Bible said, her rival taunted her cruelly. And the Bible said she entered the sanctuary. She fell between the porch and the altar. See, she's in the sanctuary. And the priest was there. To make a long story short, she prayed and God said, or the prophet told her that God's going to do what you've been praying for. Now, I told you that story because I want you to know that I wished that everybody who was at church was sweet. Well, Pastor, how do you know they're not? Because I deal with some of them. We all have our moments, that's the truth. But she fell because of taunting mean words from somebody. Here we go, watch it. At church. Somebody made you mad. Somebody said, you sitting in my chair. Somebody told me, Pastor, could I buy a chair and put it in the church and have my name on it? I go, no. Why? Because I don't ever want you to say, my name's on that chair, chair. My name's on that chair right there. I bought that chair. You don't know which one you bought. Some of y'all did buy some chairs, but y'all don't know which one it was. So you got to keep moving around. I would love to tell you that everybody is here for well-meaning and everybody's here sweet. But not everybody who goes to church are Christians. Some people just come because it's a cheap show. I mean, come on, get a little music. Sometimes a little comedy. You ain't got nothing better to do. Not everybody's sweet. And not everybody at church is saved. Look at your neighbor and say, I know that's right. I'm not just, you know, whatever. But she fell because of somebody in the church. Don't let somebody in the church cause you to fall. But if you fall, look at where Hannah fell. Hannah fell between the porch and the altar. Basically, she fell about right here. That's where you need to fall. If you're going to fall, fall between the porch and the altar. If you're going to fall, don't fall out of church. Fall into church. If you're going to fall, don't let somebody cause you to leave church. See, some of y'all, it's amazing to me. Before you got saved, I don't know if this is a bad word or not, but you had some moxie about you. Is that a bad word? Yeah, all right, good. But now all of a sudden you become a big old sissy. Now that you at church. Used to, people say something about you, like what? Now you a Christian, somebody say something to you, oh, somebody hurt my feelings. I ain't going to go to church anymore. I'm going to go to the garden and eat some worms. No, sir. See, I ain't going to let nobody run me off. Yeah. Now, listen, I'm the easiest person to get rid of. Really. You let me know you don't want me around, I'll leave. But I ain't letting somebody run me off of where I know I belong. No, sir. That'd be like somebody coming up in my house and telling me to leave. Like, oh, no. This is my house, baby. No. There ain't going to be no days like that. Right? Her rival wife taunted her cruelly. But sometimes we fall because of us. We have no one to blame but me. Don't you hate that? When you're like looking around to blame somebody and ain't nobody to blame, but like, shoot. I can't blame nobody for this. This was me. Chronicles 21:13. David said, I am distressed. Let me fall. But it's not really who or why we fall. Job fell because of a supernatural attack that a force that was greater than him. Hannah fell because of the wounds of others. And David fell because of himself, his own sin. But the question is, when you fall, where will you fall? Not if, but where? I got 3 minutes and one more point. Never going to make it. Point number three, give it to me. Give it to me, baby. It's not why. It's not why you fall that matters the most, but it's where you fall. Where will you fall? I would rather fall into the hands of an angry God than not in his hands at all. My God, somebody hear me. David fell, it says in 1 Chronicles 21:13. David even prayed, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. It goes on to tell us that the hands of the Lord were at the altar in which the fall was valuable. That I fell into the hands of God. Let me not fall into the hands of man, but let me fall into the hands of God. Because let me tell you, church, you can have, I would rather be in the hands of an angry God than not in his hands at all. Because I trust God. People, not so much. But God, I trust. Hannah fell on her face. Job 1:20, the Bible says that Job fell on the ground and worshiped there. Where he went out daily and offered sacrifice. He fell at the altar. Where we fall today, it matters. Because if you fall over there, you fall and you're not in the presence of God. It's the presence of God that keeps me coming back. It's important to remember that Job had an altar. So we got to understand that when it says Job worshiped, that he was at the altar that he had built to worship at. If you're going to be successful in your walk with God, it will not be because you did not fall. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, if you're going to be successful, it's going to mean that you fell at some point in time and had to get back up. You know, there was one guy, and he's dead right now. I don't mean that ugly. But years ago, he came to me and goes, you know, Pastor, he said, I just don't understand why these people beg God to do all the stuff that they do, because I just like ask it and it just happens. And I pat him on the shoulder and go, oh, that's because you're a baby right now. But there's going to come a day that God expects you to grow up. Right? And what are you going to do when it falls? Then you need to make sure you're in the house of God. And the first thing that happened, he got out of the house of God. First thing that happened, he fell outside the temple of God. Where you fall is so important, between the porch and the altar. If you continue your relationship with Jesus successfully, it will not be because of your great intellect. It will not be because of your great charisma, your great giftings, or your great looks. It will be because not when you fall, but when you fail between the porch and the altar. 33 times in the Bible it is recorded some version of, and he fell at the altar, or he fell at the feet of Jesus, or she fell at the feet of Jesus. But at times it doesn't even say why they fell. Because the why is not as important as the where. So where you fall is more important than why you fail. Oh, they write books. Why people fall? Why this preacher fell? Why that one fell? I want to make sure that I don't go down the same road. But the big thing is I want to make sure when I fall that I fall in the hands of God. I want to make sure that I fall between the porch and the altar. Multiple times in the Bible is commanded for the priest to wait and pray between the porch and the altar. Now, what that was in significance for us is that a priest was a mediator between the man and God. That was the Old Testament. But now here's the great thing. We don't have to have a man to get to God for us. Hallelujah. God became the man to get to us. Somebody hear me. I thank God for preachers, and I am one. I thank God for pastors, and I am one. But listen, I don't have to go through the preacher to get to God. I don't have to go through the pastor to get to God. Well, that's why we don't need church. No, no, no. You need church. The Bible, I could go on and on about why you need church and why you need preachers and why you need pastors. However, the deal is when you can't get a hold of me, you know, our church is about 750 people or around that number now. So if you call the office, you might not can get to me. You might not can get to Pastor Steve. You might not can get to a pastor. You might not can get in to see me for a few days, maybe even a week or whatever I've got going on. But there's the cool part. You ain't got to wait to see God. You don't have to take a number. You don't have to make an appointment. You can go straight to the throne of God. If you're falling, make sure that you're in the house of God. Make sure you fall between the porch and the altar so that when you fall in the hands of a merciful God. Hallelujah. Oh, I gotta bring it home. Let me bring it home. All right, let me go. Therein lies my responsibility. That no longer is the priest's responsibility to pray between the porch and the altar for me, but it's my responsibility to pray between the porch and the altar for myself. The reason you have not been successful in your walk and you have been wavering in your walk with God is not because you have fallen, but it is where you were when you fail. It's where you've been falling. You know, this is one that always gets me. Well, I just had to get some things right with God, so I had to quit coming to church for a little while. What? That makes absolutely no sense. Well, you know, I just wasn't where I needed to be with the Lord, so I had to get out and get things right with me and God. I don't get it. Man, if I'm not right with God, this is where I need to be. I don't need to be sitting at the house. I don't need to be out on the boat. The best thing I need to be in the house of God, in the presence of God. Because in His presence, there is fullness of joy. In His presence, there is liberty. In His presence, there is freedom. In His presence, there's conviction. When it says to fall at the altar, it is given the implication that I'm in the right place. Fall at the altar. You'll never be completely successful without meeting God at the altar in His house. Listen, I have an altar at my house. Now, if you come to my house, you'll never see it. Because it looks just like my recliner. But that is my altar to God. I will get in that recliner and me and God will have a time. And I will pray and I will seek God. And God will talk to me and spank me and do whatever needs to be done. But there's still something about coming to His house. Hallelujah. Because when I come to His house, I know it ain't just my house. It's His house. And I fall between the porch and the altar. Am I making sense to you? Hannah fell at the altar. A seed that is planted at the altar will give birthing to the supernatural. She gave birth to a prophet when she fell between the porch and the altar. Maybe your breakthrough is waiting for you to fall between the porch and the altar. See, and here's what we always say, and I know, I understand. But those of us who are, look, I almost lied right there. I said, those of us who are timid, I'm not real timid, but I said, those of us, I was trying to make you feel better. But for some folks, you know, who don't feel like, they feel like, well, Pastor, I don't want to come to the altar. Because that's for other people. No, it's for you. At what point in time, John, when did we make this a place of shame instead of a place of gain? My God. See, here's where I come to agree with other people. Well, but I don't know them people. I'm one that you bring up the Spirit Life Team, and I don't know them. I do. And I'll go one step further. Stand up, Bobby. Come on, you old woman, stand up. Don't you know I'm on a time schedule? Bobby's my number one intercessor. She will pray you under a chair. Listen. Come here, come here. And even though I don't know what they are, but I want you to know this woman ain't perfect. I know that I think so, But I know she ain't. How, Pastor? Because I know she's just human. And I can tell, thank you, Bobby. And I can tell you that when you come up here, she's not going to judge you or neither of the other ones. But there's something about it when you come and fall at the altar and somebody can grab the hold of your hands and begin to pray the prayer of faith. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. And the Bible says that a threefold cord cannot easily be broken. You need someone to pray with you, someone to agree with you. Revival is not promised when we worship. Revival is not promised when we give. It's not even promise when we shout, but it is promise when we pray. When we pray. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm the one that's overwhelmed. And I get that. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm the one that's struggling in my own self and nobody knows what I'm going through but me. I want you to know that God understands it. And I want you to know that God wants to meet you between the porch and the altar.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.